servant of Lord Chaitanya. A servant of Lord Chaitanya, servant of Lord Chaitanya, and a servant of his servants. That was his mood. And so we can learn from him. There are many examples that he gave how to perform devotional service. And so this is when he said this verse, this is in Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, chapter 6. That chapter is all about Advaita Prabhu. After he chanted this verse about Lord Chaitanya, he started dancing and loudly singing, and then he quietly sat down. And so these are the different moods of Advaita Acharya. In Adi Lila chapter 6, his glories are described in the beginning. Mayaya ya shijat yada tasyavatara evayam adoko adoichai ishara. I missed the line. Okay, anyway. Lord Advaita Acharya is the incarnation of Mahavishnu, whose main function is to create the cosmic world through the actions of Maya. So the great creator is now bowing down to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then another verse explaining his name, Advaitam Harina Advaitam Acharyam Bhaktisam Sanat Bhaktavataram Shantam Advait Acharyam Ashaye. Because he's known different from Hari, the Supreme Lord, he's called Advaita. And because he propagates the cult of devotion, he is called Acharya. So he's a Lord and he's also a devotee. He is the Lord and incarnation of the Lord devotee. Therefore, I take shelter of him. So we heard about we know about Mahavishnu, how he's creating everything. I was just hearing Brahma Samhita this morning. All the lords of the planets and so many universes are emanating from the hairs of his body. But he is very subservient when he comes in his incarnation as Advaita Acharya. Although he is senior to Lord Chaitanya, but his mood is as a devotee. Now, we heard from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Advaita is Mahavishnu, but according to Srimad Bhagavatam, he's Lord Shiva. So, Harihara, Harihara. There is an incarnation, Harihara, Vishnu and Shiva together. So at the beginning of creation, when Lord Mahavishnu passes glance to Maya, Lord Shiva carries the glance and consorts with Maya. And so there, he's a subjective incarnation of Vishnu. But he can't, both of them combine in the incarnation of Advaita Acharya. So there's a verse in the 11th canto, 5th chapter, my dear Lord, you are the Mahapurusha. So this is a prayer to Lord Chaitanya. Supreme Personality of Godhead, and I worship your lotus feet, which are the only eternal object of meditation. Those feet destroy the embarrassing conditions of material life and freely award the greatest desire of the soul, the attainment of pure love of Godhead. My dear Lord, your lotus feet are the shelter of all holy places and of all saintly authorities in the line of devotional service, and are honored by powerful demigods like Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. My Lord, you are so kind. You willingly protect all those who simply bow down to you with respect, and thus you mercifully relieve all the distress of your servants. In conclusion, my Lord, your lotus feet are actually the suitable boat for crossing over the ocean of birth and death. And therefore, even Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva seek shelter at your lotus feet. So this is a prayer to Lord Chaitanya. And in the purport, Prabhupada quotes, well, not Prabhupada, the disciples of Prabhupada quote, Sri Krishna Chakravarti Thakur. He's explaining the statement, Shiva Virinchi Nutam. So this is understood to indicate Lord Chaitanya is worshipped by Lord Shiva's incarnation, Advaita Acharya. So there, Advaita is described as an incarnation of Lord Shiva. And also by Lord Brahma's incarnation, Haridas Thakur. So everybody came when Lord Chaitanya came. Yeah. Everybody Party left their residences and came to join the Chaitanya. And so he's a combination, Advaita, he's a combination of Mahavishnu and Lord Shiva, Harihara. And it is only because of Advaita Lord Chaitanya came here. He called him. So he appeared, this is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi, third chapter, that when Advaita Acharya appeared, he found the world devoid of devotional service to Krishna. People were engrossed in material affairs. If you read Chaitanya Bhagavat, they were, you know, they were celebrating huge pompous marriages, and even there weren't enough people to get married, so they were having marriages of dogs. And they were celebrating marriages of, I mean, so degraded. Almost like now, I mean, I guess now we're much more degraded. But, So they were doing very nonsense things. And Advaita was unhappy. Some people were doing, I mean, they were doing karma or vikarma, both of them. But no one was interested in the transcendental service of the Lord. So seeing the activities of the world, Advaita felt compassion, began to think, how could I act for their welfare? If Krishna were to appear as an incarnation, he could preach devotion by his personal example. In this age of Kali, there is no religion other than chanting the holy name of the Lord. But how in this age will the Lord appear as an incarnation? So very interesting. Even though Advaita is an incarnation, he's not claiming that he is the incarnation of this yuga or any sort of incarnation. He said, well, if I can get the Lord to come. Very interesting mentality here. Oh, Lord Chaitanya had the same mentality. Don't call me Vishnu. I'm a devotee. So this is the mentality of the Panchatattva. He said, I'll worship Krishna. Constantly call him in humbleness. My name Advaita will be fitting if I can induce Krishna to inaugurate the movement of the chanting of the name. So then this verse, the following verse, came in his mind. Tulsi dala matena jalasya chirkena va ikinite san atmanam patevya patavatsala. Krishna is very affectionate to his devotees, sells himself to a devotee who offers him merely a tulsi leaf and palm full of water. So if you want to buy Krishna, he's very easy to purchase. Tulsi and water. Of course, Advaita was offering Ganga, Ganga Jal. So he says, he was thinking, Advaita was thinking, not finding any way to repay the debt he owes to one who offers him a tulsi leaf and water. Lord Krishna thinks, there's no wealth in my possession equal to a tulsi leaf and water. Well, so the Lord liquidates the debt by offering himself to the devotee. So when Advaita is thinking of the lotus feet of Krishna, always offering constantly tulsi buds and water from the Ganga, and he appealed to Krishna with loud calls, calling Krishna. And so he made it possible for Krishna to appear. So the principal reason for Lord Chaitanya's descent is this appeal by Advaita Acharya. And so he appears because he comes by the desire of these devotees. So now I would like to describe the meeting of Advaita with Lord Chaitanya. One day, so he already had announced, the devotees already knew he was Krishna, and he was the Lord, and they were having Harinam in Shirasa's house, Sankirtan. But one day in the mood of the Supreme Lord, now he's thinking he's the Lord, Lord Chaitanya offered Shiva's Pandit's younger brother, Ramai, go to Advaita Acharya's house and inform him of my appearance. Tell him, the person he worshipped for so long, who he wept for, who he fasted for, that same Lord has now appeared to distribute knowledge of loving devotional service. So not only did he call loudly, not only did he offer tulsi, he was fasting and he was crying and so many things. So that enthusiasm, we can't imitate, but we can be enthusiastic in our devotional service.
when we want to pray to Krishna. Also tell him Nityananda Prabhu is here. Tell Dvaita to come immediately and meet him, means Lord Chaitanya, the one he called. He's calling him now. There Krishna reciprocates. He's also calling him. And tell him to bring his wife and bring all the paraphernalia necessary for my worship. Being very happy to have been instructed with this service, Ramai started for Shantipur. He did not know the way, but somehow by divine arrangement, he easily arrived at Advaitacharya's house. Being overjoyed after offering his obeisances, Ramai could not speak. He's the messenger. Advaitacharya already knew about everything that was happening in Navadvip. He sweetly said to Ramai, I know you have been instructed to take me to Navadvip. He already knew. With folded hands, Ramai replied, you already know everything, and so please come with me. Being in a very blissful and excited state of mind, Advaita inquired, where is it stated in Shastra the Supreme Lord will descend to Navadvip, assuming a human form, to reclaim the fallen conditioned souls? So he's testing him. It's not like, you know, okay, Lord Chaitanya's calling, let's go. No, he's testing Ramai a bit. Ramai Pandit knew very well of Advaitacharya's position. He simply remained silent, smiling within. Then again, Advaitacharya asked, Ramai, why is it you've come here? Seeing Advaitacharya had become calm, Ramai began to cry while delivering Lord Chaitanya's message. That Supreme Personality for whom you have wept so profusely, for whom you perform hard, continuous worship, and for whom you accepted vows of fasting and austerity, has now appeared to distribute love of Godhead, and he's calling for you. Please bring your wife and all kinds of paraphernalia for his worship. Lord Nityananda has also appeared, and he is none different from Lord Chaitanya. You already know everything. What more need I say? When Advaitacharya heard this, he lifted his arms and began to cry. Then, to everyone's amazement, he fainted. After a short while, Advaitacharya regained consciousness and roared loudly, saying, I have brought my Lord. The Lord has left his supreme abode and appeared here in answer to my prayers. After saying this, Advaitacharya fell to the ground, weeping. Not only Advaitacharya, also his wife, Sita Devi, and small son Achyutananda cried, due to great happiness. Engrossed in thoughts of the Lord, Advaitacharya could not remain still. His body swayed slowly as he inquired from Ramai, what did the Lord say to me? Ramai Pandit replied, he told you to come immediately. Advaitacharya then said, my dear Ramai, if he's actually my worshipful Lord, let him come here to speak the truth. If he displays his supreme opulence and places his lotus feet on my head, then I will know he's the Lord of my heart. Again, Advaita seems to be joking, but Ramai has a good answer for him. Ramai said, what power do I have to speak? It is only by the Lord's mercy I am able to see him. The Lord's desire is your desire, and indeed he has incarnated because of you. Advaitacharya was satisfied with this reply, and he began preparing for his journey. Get ready quickly, he told his wife. Collect whatever paraphernalia is required for worship and then let us proceed. Sita Devi was a chaste and dedicated woman. She knew very well the truth of Lord Chaitanya's appearance. She collected incense, flower garlands, scented oil, cloves, sweetened condensed milk, yogurt, cream, butter, camphor, betel leaves, and nuts for worship. So in case you ever meet Lord Chaitanya, you'll know what to bring. As they were going, Advaitacharya told Ramai, do not tell the Lord that I have come. I will hide at Nandanacharya's house. There's so many things he's doing, Advaita. He's not direct. Lord Vishambhara is paramatma in everyone's heart, however, and so he knew of Advaitacharya's plan. Understanding that Advaitacharya had arrived in Navadvip, the Lord went to Shiva's Pandit's house. With the Lord's arrangement, all the devotees had assembled there. Seeing the Lord was in a contemplative mood, devotees remained quiet and apprehensive. They're thinking, okay, now what's going to happen? He's quiet, Lord Chaitanya's quiet. Then the Lord suddenly got up, and while roaring loudly, he went and sat on the seat of Lord Vishnu that was placed on the altar. A completely different mood here of Lord Chaitanya. The Lord then shouted, Nara has come. I know Nara wants to test whether I'm really the Supreme Lord or not. Nityananda always understood the Lord's moods. So what's Nityananda going to do now? He picked up an umbrella and held it over Lord Chaitanya's head. Gadadhar Pandit, who also knew the Lord's mood very well, offered him camphor and a betel leaf. All the devotees followed their examples and worshipped the Lord with various articles. And so Lord Chaitanya is in the mood of the Supreme Lord now. Some offered prayers and others offered varieties of service. At this time, Ramai came there, and before he could speak, the Lord said, Nara has sent you to test me. I know he's here in Navadvip at Nandanacharya's house. Now go quickly and bring him. And so he didn't waste time there. Ramai happily returned to Dvaitacharya and related to him all that had happened. In ecstasy, Dvaitacharya hurried to Shivas's house, considering his plan to have been a success. Actually, he wanted the whole world to know Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and now the Lord himself has declared this to be so. Dvaitacharya and his wife approached the Lord from a distance, offering obeisances while reciting prayers. The Lord, with his effulgent golden complexion, appearing more beautiful than millions of full moons, smilingly looked upon Dvaitacharya with great affection. Around the Lord's neck hung the Vaijayanti garland and Kaushtubha jewel. On his chest was the mark of Shivatsa. He played the flute in a most exquisite manner, and his body was bent in three places. A charming smile played on his lips. Dvaitacharya also saw the four-headed Lord Brahma, five-headed Lord Shiva, and six-headed Kartikeya offering their obeisances while Narada Muni and Shukadeva Goswami recited prayers. So in this case, it seems Lord Shiva was a little separate here from Advaita. He was in his other form. Or he could be two places at the same time also. So looking around, Advaitacharya could see countless demigods offering obeisances, and seated upon a chariot was Mother Ganga. Advaitacharya raised himself up in a mood of great awe and reverence. He saw serpents with many hoods offering prayers, and wives of the demigods were also there praising the Lord. Indeed, there was no empty space to be seen in the sky or on the land. Now the sky was full with airplanes and demigods and so many demigods. Dvaitacharya and his wife stood speechless. Lord Vishwamara looked at Dvaitacharya and said, I have descended to this world in response to your vow and repeated worship. I was resting on the ocean of milk, but your roaring woke me up. You are so merciful that you could not bear to see the suffering of the conditioned living entity, so you summoned me to alleviate their painful condition. All of these demigods, sages, devotees, and associates have appeared in response to your call. Isn't that interesting? Not only Lord Chaitanya came, all the demigods, all the devotees, all the sages. He roared so loudly, they must have heard him all over the universe. Lifting his arms, Dvaitacharya responded, today my life has become successful. All of my dreams have been fulfilled by seeing your lotus feet. My birth has gained meaning. O Lord, who else but you could liberate all the living entities? Lord Chaitanya called Advaita to him. Tears rolled down Advaitacharya's cheeks as he spoke. Now, perform my worship, the Lord said. Having received this instruction, Advaitacharya began worshiping the Lord's lotus feet in great ecstasy. First, he washed Vishwambhara's lotus feet. Then he smeared scented oil on them. Next, he dipped Tulsi Manjaris into sandalwood paste and placed them on the Lord's lotus feet. Advaitacharya performed worship with flowers, scents, incense, frankincense, and lamps, while everyone glorified the Lord. As Advaitacharya continued his worship, he chanted the verse, O my Lord, you are the well-wisher of the cows and brahmanas, and indeed you are the maintainer of the entire universe, as well as many, many other prayers glorifying the Lord's incarnations. Advaita-chaya fell prostrate before the Lord, seeking shelter at his lotus feet. Lord Gauranga lifted his lotus feet and placed them upon Advaita-acharya's head. So he had that desire before he came, that he wanted the Lord's feet on his head. Upon seeing this, the devotees became mad with jubilation, completely forgetting themselves. Some rolled on the ground, others embraced one another or slapped each other boisterously, while many others cried out loudly. Advaita-chaya felt as if all his desires had been fulfilled because the Lord had placed his lotus feet upon his head. Lord Chaitanya then instructed him, "Nara, let me see you dance." Advaita-chaya happily began to dance. And so the devotee started a very sweet, melodious kirtan. As he continued dancing in front of the Lord, Advaita-chaya sometimes moved in a spirited manner and sometimes moved very gracefully. Sometimes he felt very humble and kept a bunch of straw between his teeth. Sometimes Advaita-chaya would spin around and jump into the air and then fall down to the ground and roll back and forth. At other times he would breathe deeply and quickly and then fall unconscious. When Nityananda Prabhu left, Advaita-chaya told him, "It is wonderful you are here. For so long I had no trace of you. Now if you try to go anywhere, I will tie you up." Those two were always joking. Advaita-chaya's dancing mesmerized all the devotees and filled them with great joy. At last, when Lord Chaitanya told him to stop dancing, Advaita-chaya immediately sat down in the mood of a servant. Now he's in that mood. While taking a garland from his neck and placing it upon Advaita-acharya's shoulders, Lord Chaitanya said, "Ask for a benediction." Advaita-chaya remained silent, but the Lord insisted. At last, Advaita-chaya replied, "What more could I ask for? What I had desired, I have received. I have seen you in person, and you have witnessed my dancing. In this way, my heart's desire has been fulfilled." Tilting his head to one side, the Lord said, "I have appeared because of you. I will distribute the chanting of the holy name to everyone. This love of God that is meditated upon by Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva will now be given freely by me." Advaita-chaya responded, "When you distribute love..." So here's the benediction he's asking for now. "When you distribute love of God, give it also to the women, the Shudras, and the fallen and ignorant persons, those who are intoxicated by their wealth, learning, and high birth, and thus have no respect for your devotees. Let them burn in the fire of hell." So, okay, don't get proud here. don't get intoxicated with your learning or anything. "Let everyone else, even the chandalas, dance in ecstasy while chanting your holy name." Appreciating this statement, the Lord exclaimed, "All that you have said is very good. Let the entire world bear witness to your mercy upon the fallen conditioned souls." So this was spoken 500 years ago, but we can see Advaita-chaya's blessing is coming to pass now. The chandalas, the women, the malachas, the shudras, they're all dancing happily in the sankirtan. And so what Advaita-chaya desired 500 years ago, Srila Prabhupada is fulfilling now. And what examples Advaita-chaya showed, Srila Prabhupada is showing now. He's showing us. So I'll give you one example, followed by ISKCON. This was the Advaita-acharya feeding Haridas Thakur, who was born in a Muslim family. Chaitanya Charitamrita Antyalila 3. Haridas Thakur accepted food daily at the house of Advaita-acharya. Meeting together, the two of them would taste the nectar of discourses on the subject matter of Krishna. Haridas Thakur said, "My dear Advaita-acharya, let me submit something before your honor. Every day you give me alms of food to eat. What is the necessity of this? You are living in a society of great, great brahmanas and aristocrats, but without fear or shame, you adore a lower class man like me. Your behavior is uncommon. Indeed, sometimes I'm afraid to speak to you, but please favor me by protecting me from the behavior of society. And so, Haridas is asking protection from Advaita Acharya. So Purport Prabhupada says, at present, so now Prabhupada's relating it to now, to us. At present, many Vaishnavas are coming to our Krishna conscious movement from among the Europeans and Americans, and although men like Ramachandra Khan are always envious of such Vaishnavas, one should follow in the footsteps of Sri Advaita Acharya by treating all of them as Vaishnavas. Although they are not as exalted as Haridas Thakur, such Americans and Europeans, having accepted the principles of Vaishnava philosophy and behavior, should never be excluded from Vaishnava society. And so there Prabhupada was bringing it to the present. Advaita Acharya replied, "My dear Haridas, do not be afraid. I shall behave strictly according to the principles of the revealed scriptures." So Prabhupada, before he came to America, there's a story that he was going to a temple of Advaita, and he was praying for blessings. And the pujari noticed him, that he would sit and chant for hours and cry also. And he didn't disturb Prabhupada. But then finally, just before he was going to leave, he asked for blessings. And then after a few years, he came back with some foreign disciples. And the pujari realized, oh, he was successful in his mission. He prayed to Advaita Acharya for blessings. So in 1972, when we first came to Vrindavan, Prabhupada was speaking on nectar devotion. Because he was encouraging us, as well as convincing the rich Basis to accept us as Vaishnavas. In nectar devotion, Srila Goswami has said, devotional service is the birthright of all human beings. So, now there's another purport in 7th canto, 15th chapter about this the story of Haridas. When Vaishnavas distribute charity, they don't need to find a brahmana performing the activities of Karmakan or Gyanakan. So this is a verse that says, if you want to give charity, give to these brahmanas. But Prabhupada says, no, you don't need to. The best example in this regard is provided by Advaita Goswami, who after performing the Shraddha ceremony for his father, offered charity to Haridas Thakur. Although it was known to everyone, Haridas Thakur was born in a Mohammedan family, not a Brahmana family, and was not interested in the activities of Gyanakand or Karmakand. A Vaishnava is in a higher position than a Gyani, therefore Advaita Acharya selected Haridas Thakur to be the person to accept his charity. Supreme Lord also says, even though a person is a very learned scholar of Sanskrit Vedic literature, he is not accepted as my devotee unless he is pure in devotional service. However, even though a person is born in a family of dog-eaters, he is very dear to me if he is a pure devotee who has no motive to enjoy fruit of activity or mental speculation. Indeed, all respect should be given to him, and whatever he offers should be accepted. Such devotees are as worshipable even as I am. So Prabhupada says, even if not born in a Brahmin family, a devotee, because of his devotion, is above all kinds of Brahmanas. In this regard, it may be mentioned, now Prabhupada talks about Vrindavan and our experience there, that Brahmanas in Vrindavan who are Karmakandis and Gyanakandis sometimes decline to accept invitations to our temple, because our temple is known as the Angreji temple or Anglican temple, English temple. But in accordance with the evidence given in Shastra and examples set by Advaita Acharya, we give prasad to devotees regardless of whether they come from India, Europe, or America. Is conclusion of the Shastra, instead of feeding many Gyanikandi or Karmakandi brahmanas, it's better to feed a pure Vaishnava, regardless of where he comes from. And then he quotes Gita 9th chapter, Arpiche Siracharo Bhajte Mam Ananyabhak Sadhure Sumantavya Samyab Vyavasitoisaha. Even if one commits the most abominable action, if he is engaged in devotional service, he is to be considered as saintly, a sadhu. So, it doesn't matter whether a devotee comes from Brahmin family or non-Brahmin family, if he's fully devoted to Krishna, he's a sadhu. So that was the example of Advaita followed by Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada explained in a purport what the word acharya means, teacher. The special function of such a teacher is to make people Krishna conscious. So that was Advaita's name. A bona fide teacher following in the footsteps of Advaita Acharya has no other business than to spread the principles of Krishna consciousness all over the world. The real qualification of an Acharya is he presents himself as servant of the Supreme. So such bona fide Acharya can never support demoniac activities of atheistic men who present themselves as God. And so Prabhupada was very well known as putting down the Mayavadis, fighting with the Mayavadis and those who would say they are God. And he speaks about this in one book, that when a person is haunted by Maya, he says, God is dead. I am God. Why are you searching for God? Here I am. There's so many gods loitering in the street, Prabhupada would say sarcastically. So people who speak like this are ghostly haunted. We have to cure them by vibrating the transcendental sound of the Hare Krishna mantra. So Srila Prabhupada, he did this. He showed us the example of Advaita Acharya being merciful to the women, the Shudras, the Mlechas. And so I'd just like to finish with one article about Srila Prabhupada and his coming. His coming to America, his appearance in New York City, in the East Village, how they received him, the East Village people, the newspaper, the East Village Other, the front page was filled with a picture. It's a very famous picture now. There's Prabhupada, and then there's a church steeple, and he's standing in front of the tree in Tompkins Square Park, and he's speaking to a small crowd that had gathered around, and his disciples were at his feet. And above the photo was the headline, Save Earth Now. And underneath was, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And then below the mantra that said, See Centerfold, so the middle of the newspaper was a huge big thing on Prabhupada. So that was the front page. And then you open up in the middle. And so they took the newspaper to Srila Prabhupada, and when he said, look, this is the biggest local newspaper, everybody reads it, Save Earth Now. And so what is the voice thinking, what are they meaning here, Save Earth Now? And one devotee said, well, after all, this is the East Village Other, it could mean anything. And so then one devotee said, Swamiji is saving the earth. Prabhupada said, we are trying to, by Krishna's grace. That was Prabhupada. So then he put on his glasses and they were reading it. So Hayagriva started reading. He said, once upon a time, so there's a story about a group of theologians, who had killed an old man in a church, and of the subsequent press report, God was now dead. So they had killed God. But the story went on. Some people didn't believe it. They dug up the body and found it to be not his body, not the body of God, but that of his PR man, organized religion. At once the good tidings swept across the wild world, the wide world. God lives. But where was God? A full-page ad in New York Times offering a reward for information leading to discovery of the whereabouts of God, signed by Martin Luther King and Ronald Reagan, brought no response. People began to worry and wonder again. God said some people lives in a sugar cube, so that was, you know, how they did the drugs. Others whispered the sacred secret was in a cigarette, marijuana. But while all this was going on, an old man, 1 year past his allotted 70, wandered into New York's East Village and set about to prove to the world that he knew where God could be found. In only 3 months, the man, Swami A.C. Bhaktivedanta, succeeded in convincing the world's toughest audience, bohemians, acid heads, potheads, and hippies, that he knew the way to God. turn off, sing out, and fall in. This new brand of holy man, with all due deference to Dr. Leary, has come forth with a brand of consciousness expansion that's sweeter than acid, cheaper than pot, and non-bustable by fuzz. How is all this possible? Through Krishna, the Swami says. So, you know, like Advaita appeared, Lord Chaitanya appeared, Prabhupada appeared also. And we like to remember him today because he's giving us, he is the way we connect to Advaita Acharya. He's showing us the example, he's giving us the books to read about Advaita. He has accepted the mood of Advaita Acharya, the benediction that he asked from Lord Chaitanya. And so we have to follow in his footsteps, chant Hare Krishna, and spread it to everyone. Now we'll stop here. If there's any questions or comments, you can ask at this point. Yes, Sukha?
That was a lot of nectar. Thank you. And that last article you read, where can someone...
Yeah, Prabhupada Lilamrita.
It's in the Lilamrita.
Yeah. Okay. I was trying, like, when I found it in... It's in Vedabase, so I found this in Vedabase.
Oh.
But the only reference I could find was just SDG, Satru mm-hmm. Goswami. But I'm pretty sure I remember reading it in Lilamrita. Pretty sure.
Okay. And also... wanted to just ask you about how you were saying, you know, before Lord Chaitanya came, Advaita Acharya was seeing everything was going on,
right?
And all the marriages, and even thought they were marrying dogs. And
dogs to dogs. Yeah.
Yeah, right. So I mean, it's so confusing, though. Is that an example of Niyamagraha? Why would they do that?
Well, you know, the same reason why people do crazy things now. It's a form of entertainment.
It was entertainment.
It wasn't serious, no. They were just have nothing to do.
Wow.
You know. So people, you see what people do now when they have nothing to do. What kind of, what things they think up to do, crazy things.
Mischief, right?
Huh?
Mischief.
Yeah, mischief, just mischief. It was just joking. They were joking and they thought, this will... we'll get a good laugh by doing this. And they were spending money on it too. They had money to spend, they had time to spend, and they thought, well, this will make us, give us a good fun. You know, now it's other ways people are getting their laughs and things. In Kali Yuga. And so, yeah, what do you do when you have money you don't know what to do with and time you don't know what to do with? Idle mind is a devil's workshop, yes. The devil is just for fun. Manmati.
I had heard that in Navadvip was the place of learning.
Yeah.
And I was kind of thinking like the Harvard of U.S. Right. And like you said, they were so intelligent and they had so much money.
Yeah.
And this is amazing what they do.
And what they do in their spare time.
Yeah,
it's like, you know, if you look at the lives of the professors in our universities, what do they do? I remember this, where it was Chivikram Maharaj. He was going to university. I think I told this already in one class. And Prabhupada said, so what do you learn? He said, yes, we're discussing about people. There are different habits like alcoholism and different social problems. Prabhupada said, yes. In the day they will discuss and at night they will say, okay, let's have a drink. The professors. So this, you know, what they don't know what to do. And the very thing that they're criticizing, they'll do themselves. I mean, they may not be alcoholics, but, you know, yeah, okay, group us up.
I have couple of questions. One is, Prabhupada talked a lot about dog eaters.
About what?
Dog eaters. Dog eaters.
Dog?
Eaters.
Dog eaters. Chandalas.
I mean, are there lots of people who eat dogs? I mean, I've never...
In some Eastern Asian countries. Yeah, I know one story where the president of U.S. sent some
very prized dogs to one of the president of their, those countries, and they said, oh, they were very tasty.
You know, I could see pig eaters, but dog eaters, I'd never think. And it's
yeah,
mentioned so
they
much
exist. They exist, but in India, they're considered the lowest.
I know, but I just never heard that people eat dogs.
Yeah, we don't hear about it, but I imagine it. I never visited those countries where they do that. But if you did, yes,
In China.
Anyhow, my question is. There are different personalities, Advaita Acharya and Lord Shiva, but you said they were both worshipping Lord Chaitanya at the same time.
Yeah.
So they're different personalities. They're not like, I mean, they're different bodies, but they're different personalities
yeah.
too. Just like Krishna is Lord Chaitanya and,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Well, so, the demigods can expand. So Lord Shiva can expand to be Advaita or Advaita can expand to be Lord Shiva.
Well, like the sages, they expand too, but they can only do the same thing like nine times or something.
Yeah.
But these are completely different personalities. They have different pastimes. They don't even,
yeah.
like pastimes are not even similar, like, you know.
Yeah, that's true, but there is an example of the sages expanding when Lord Krishna went to two different places to visit one Brahmana. What was his name? Suresh? Shutadev and Bahulasha, king. The sages also expanded and went to both the palaces. So they were two different places doing different things. And when you're in the spiritual body, when you're in those bodies, then you can also expand. When you're with Lord Krishna, I guess it's easier to expand with him. You don't want to miss, what you don't want to be left out. He's going two places, so you also want to go. Those two places.
The dog eater.
Okay, he can say something about the dog eaters. Okay. Nectar devotion.
So, when that verse came up in NOD, it said
NOD.
Okay. Because we didn't have Bhagavatam, so that's probably one main reason he was speaking on that book. And so that shloka is quoted. So then Prabhupada commented that dog eater means that he didn't know, he had never seen dog eater in India, but when he went to the Philippines,
okay.
he saw dog eater. Then the heavy duty shocking comment he gave was that our Sudama Vipra and Siddhasurup, they were preaching in the Philippines. He said, so they have induced the dog eaters there to chant, they're chanting more nicely than the so-called Vaishnavas of Vrindavan.
Wow.
So-called Vaishnavas. So he probably lived in Vrindavan, so he didn't have a high, on one side, you know, Vichar, you have to say everyone in Vrindavan is in a level, but Prabhupada sometimes would make these comments,
uh-huh.
kind of shocking.
Yeah.
The dog eaters in the Philippines
are
chanting
better
than the so-called Vaishnavas. He didn't even say some, but the Vaishnavas. Anyway, interesting comment.
Okay, Manamati?
Here's an online question.
You have questions?
No, there's an online question afterwards.
Oh, there's an online question. Okay.
Isn't there a bhajan by Bhaktivinoda Thakur where he sings that I would beg from the house of the dog eaters in the holy dham he's talking about.
Mm.
I forget, Pushkar Prabhu, you mean?
Yeah.
And beg from the houses of the dog eaters.
Well,
they're talking.
Yeah, sweet, maybe bungies.
No, he specifically mentioned dog eaters. At least that's how the translation. I don't know. Swapache, yeah. And this is his talking about the holy dham. That he will
yeah.
do so.
Okay.
I don't know that he actually did that.
That's in the song.
Okay, question from online.
Yeah, this is a question and a comment from Ragatmika Mataji.
Okay.
Comment was, yesterday we received permission from the DNB to have a book table out front with a prayer to Sri Advaita Acharya. By his permission, the DNB granted permission, or by his mercy, sorry. And her question is, What does subjective incarnation mean?
What does subjective incarnation mean? So this we get from Brahma Samhita at the beginning. It describes that Lord Shiva is a subjective incarnation. And these are the words of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And I can't really elaborate much on that, except that he is an incarnation of Mahavishnu, subject. I mean, he is an incarnation, but at the same time, he's not the same as Mahavishnu. It's like the verse later comes about Lord Shiva, that like Vishnu is compared to milk, Lord Shiva is compared to yogurt. So in one sense, it means he's, what I understand is he's simultaneously one and different with Vishnu. He's one in one sense, he's one because his origin is there. And in, he has his pure form in Vaikuntha as Sadashiva. So in that sense, he's one also. But he's different because he consorts with Durga. So simultaneously one and different is my understanding of what that means. I'm subjective. You have anything? CC. Okay, give him a microphone. Yeah, let's hear what CC says.
I don't remember if it's in the sixth chapter, it's in Adilila, but I think it's before that. Vishnu something paramesh, and then it says Shiva Maya Shakti Tamaguna Vesh. Because Shiva associates with the Tamagun, then he is touched by Tamagun. Therefore, Vishnu is better. That first line says Vishnu is supreme, paramesh.
Okay.
There's one more question.
Okay.
From Madhurya Lila.
Mataji.
Nice class, thank you. Why was there so much time between Lord Chaitanya meeting with Advaita Acharya? He missed Lord Chaitanya's childhood.
Why was there so much time?
Between the meeting of Lord Chaitanya and Advaita Acharya.
What? Between the meeting? What do you mean? I don't understand the question. Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, before, yes, okay. So before, when Lord Chaitanya came, he did not explain, or he did not say, I am the Supreme Lord. There was a certain time when he said that. But before that time, Advaita Acharya used to see Lord Chaitanya. He would come sometimes to get his brother. He was a small boy, and he would see him. But the devotees, it's described in Chaitanya Bhagavat, the devotees were covered, so they didn't recognize him. They were covered by Yogamaya. And they didn't really understand that Lord Chaitanya was the Supreme Lord. Then Lord Chaitanya at one point revealed himself first to Shivas by kicking down his door when he was worshipping Lord Nrisingadev and said, okay, I'm here, you called me, you're worshipping me, I'm here. So this is described in Chaitanya Bhagavat. So after that, then it didn't take long for him to call Advaita Acharya. Nityananda came, and then Advaita came. But there was, there was a long time when the devotees did not recognize him because he did not say that I am the Supreme Lord or showed that mood at all. There was a certain time when he actually announced, okay, it's me, I've come. Here I am. Let's go. Let's chant. Okay. Finished? Any other question? Okay. Jai, all glories to your Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.